sale pricing.
It's a split decision. The Republicans take the House in a big sweep, in a big way. Democrats hold on to the Senate. Breaking it all down, you've got things like Barbara Boxer, who hung in there. So the most liberal of the senators in California stays in place, while Russ Feingold, also on that side of things for the Democrats in Wisconsin, is out. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. I hope you all went out and voted and made us proud. I always say this, you want to whine, kvetch, call it whatever you want to call it. But if you want to complain about the people who represent you, a good thing to do is go and vote. And a lot of people, I think, did vote. I'm going to be curious to see what the hard numbers are when all of this comes out, meaning the hard numbers on the votes, at least 45%, I'm hoping. What's interesting is you didn't get the young vote, 18 to 29-year-olds, for the most part, didn't go and vote like they did for Barack Obama in 2008. Instead, in the midterm elections, they stayed home, only 10%. What increased was 65 and older, according to some of the numbers already, showing that from 15% in that age group that went out to cast their ballots in 2008, you had a jump to 25%. That's pretty significant. So it was the gray vote that was out and about all over the country, and it makes sense if you think Social Security, no cost of living increases, frustration over health care, and a slew of uncertainty, other things that would make people on fixed incomes very, very nervous, and also nervous for their grandchildren and where the country is headed. The deficits and all those kind of things would weigh heavy on many of the older generation, and it shows because they were furious. They went out and voted. What we did see in the trend was that the Tea Party, you have to say, did have an impact on this election, because you had many candidates who came from the ranks of the so-called Tea Party movement that won, and that showed up in the Senate in some cases and in the House. So 2 years after Obama won the White House, all of this anxiety about the economy and certainly the discontentment with his leadership fueled some of those GOP fat gains that toppled the House Speaker, the Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, from power. And now we've got this era of divided government. So it's the biggest shift in power, at least since the Republican gains 54 House seats in 1994, when Bill Clinton, a Democrat, of course, was the president. And now we're back to that same thing. You have a split government, and the question then becomes, what does it mean? What does this ultimately mean for all of us in our own backyards? The governor of California, soon to be not the governor of California, because Jerry Brown, of course, wins the election. So the Democrat who had that office 30 years ago is back in office. The governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who will be out of the governor's mansion, talked about the election cycle and the changes. Listen to what he had to say.
2 years ago, they threw out the Democrats. They threw out the Republicans. Now they're going to throw out the Democrats, and it's going to go back and forth like that. So there's all kinds of interesting changes there.
Yeah, they are interesting. Certainly there are interesting changes. As I said, the Democrats keep the Senate majority. The Republicans grabbed 5 seats, and it was interesting to see the net gains, big wins, including taking Senate seats from Democrats in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arkansas, North Dakota, and Indiana. But the net gain of 10 that they needed for control slipped through their fingers, and part of that happened because of California and some other things that happened in the West. I think two of the big Tea Party champs would have to be the big high-profile races in both Kentucky and in Florida. Rand Paul wins. There was some last-minute maneuvering by Jack Conway and maybe some dirty politics, but it didn't work. In the end, Paul, the libertarian-minded candidate, won. And Marco Rubio of Florida, who definitely fits the Tea Party candidate style, and he had a lot of Tea Party people out there voting for him. He wins in Florida in really a three-way race. I mentioned Feingold. I mentioned it now a couple of times. The three-term Democrat lost to a newcomer, Ron Johnson. And Feingold was the only senator to vote against the so-called Patriot Act that passed after the 2001 terrorist acts, calling it a dangerous infringement. Remember this on civil liberties. He is gone. Ron Johnson, the new guy, made a fortune in plastics, and he wants to repeal the nation's new health care, repeal rather than the new health care law, which he says is the greatest single assault on freedom in his lifetime. Blanche Lincoln fell to the Republican Congressman John Boozman in Arkansas. Obama, remember, lost by 20 percentage points there 2 years ago. And in Indiana, the voters sent Republican Dan Coats back after an absence. He was gone for 12 years. He spent a decade in the Senate. He stepped aside in 98. He defeated the Democrat Brad Ellsworth. The seat is being, of course, vacated by the Democrat Evan Baugh. So he steps into those shoes. So the other high-profile races where many of you are listening to us in Connecticut, the Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal, rather, kept his state's open Senate seat in the hands of the Democrats. Linda McMahon, the pro-wrestling entrepreneur who pumped a ton of money into this, goes by the wayside. Christine O'Donnell, who was a big Tea Party favorite, lost to Democrat Chris Coons in Delaware. She had an amazing, of course, Republican primary win by beating the longtime politician Mike Castle, who actually was expected to top Coons, but she didn't win in her bid to be the senator of that state. It again goes to Coons. Another big one, of course, in Nevada, Sharon Engel was hoping to knock off Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. That didn't happen narrowly. Reid retains his Senate seat. Boy, it wasn't looking good for him, but with the precincts in, he absolutely has it. Ohio was another odd place. Rob Portman won the Senate seat, so that kept a Republican in the seat that was being vacated. And Portman spent 12 years in the House, starting back in 93. He went on to some interesting things. He's a budget director, then a trade rep under President George W. Bush. And he defeated the Lieutenant Governor Lee Fisher. In Kansas, Republican Jerry Moran won the Senate seat that, of course, was left open by Republican Sam Brownback, who was elected governor, by the way, on Tuesday. So there was a little bit of switching and dancing going on, and there were some easy re-elections too as well. We're going to talk about some of those on the flip side. Hang with us.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. also on super sale. Olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at herbalhealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at herbalhealer.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you? When you're sick, get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
Republicans capture the House, falling short in the Senate, so it is a split decision, if you will, a divided House on the Hill. And, of course, John Boehner from Ohio, set to be the Speaker, he clearly said, look, the people's voice was heard at the ballot box, and that's what you need to know. The Tea Party did fail, as we were just going through, to topple Harry Reid, or the majority in the Senate. So there are your top headlines. And with the gains that, then there were some gains too, Republican gains in the Senate, but not enough. It's going to be interesting to see how the tide turns. I'm going to say this statistic again that was dug up by our huge research staff for America Tonight. Did you know that when three different presidents lost the midterm elections, they were elected for another term as president despite that? Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, and Bill Clinton all suffered a big blow in the midterms, but ended up winning another term as President of the United States. I'll tell you, the election, I think, was kind of a referendum on the, was a referendum on the status quo, and the advantage went to the Republicans. It's unclear what will happen, I think, in 2012. Next year is a huge year. Depends on where the economy is. Depends on who, too, is the opponent in 2012. It's not looking good for the president. He can't be happy with the fact that so many seats slipped away when everybody was riding high back in 2008. There are a few races that are too close to call. In the governor's races on Election Day, Republicans gained sort of a leg up, I'll say, across the country. In the Midwest, you know, you think of the industrial Midwest, where the Dems have really had the edge. You had Iowa, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Republicans took the seats that were once held by the other party. They also took seats now held by Democrats in some other parts of the country, big ones, Kansas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Wyoming. There is one big, big question mark, and the question is, what happened in Minnesota? Of course, our crackerjack man on the scene, maestro technically and everything else of America Tonight, Matt Johnson, knows what's happening. Matt, I guess it's pretty interesting in Minnesota.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy right now. The margin of error for voting right now for the governor race is it's so close that I will absolutely 100% guarantee there will be some kind of a recount. And if you remember back in the previous election, we had the big recount between Norm Coleman and Al Franken, and a lot of let's just say a lot of litigation that had to happen before that race was finalized. So hopefully we can end this race before the new year, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
All right, there you go. I love that. Up to date, baby. Excuse me. See how exciting that is? So among the group of new Republican political leaders, here's a big one. We talked about her a bunch. Nikki Haley is the nation's first Indian-American female governor. A huge victory in South Carolina. Susana Martinez, a Republican district attorney, who's saying forget the corruption and is also going to block illegal immigrants from getting driver's licenses in New Mexico. That was a big surprise, especially given the makeup of the people in New Mexico. And a couple of other surprises, too. Rick Schneider, a Republican, who stunned the party establishments by beating some much more established candidates in the primaries. He's the former head of Gateway, was elected governor of Michigan with kind of a catchphrase that followed him around. He was called one tough nerd. So now he has the seat. What will some of these newbies do in their respective offices, whether it's being the governor of a state or duking it out on the House floor or perhaps in the Senate? I mean, the key thing that we care about is now the political maps have turned over. So what does it mean for us? What's in it for me is fair to say, because there's massive concern. That's why we saw, I think, the turnout of some of the older people, certainly. We saw big crowds in some places, because maybe some folks who wouldn't normally vote in the midterm elections decided, wow, I got to pony up here. I got to do whatever I have to do, and I have to get out there and vote. I got that sense where I was because of all the chit-chat before everybody actually got down to the business of voting. Since we had to wait, there was a lot of conversation, and most of the conversation, you could tell, was from people who were not happy with the way things were going. We talked about New York and the governor's race there. Of course, this is not a surprise. Cuomo, an easy win in that race. And some people talked about the nepotism and, you know, the rise of Cuomo, the whole political dynasty thing. And it is the first time a son of a New York governor has been elected to that office. You go back to Mario Cuomo. He was elected in 82 and served three terms. So now you got Andrew Cuomo, who's in there. He beat his Republican rival pretty handily, Carl Palladino. And it was the help of the independents, though, and the people in the suburbs. And then, of course, you can't throw the city out of that, but he just had a broad sweep. And I think that's what really pushed him ahead. And it was a nasty, nasty campaign between Cuomo and Palladino, a Buffalo real estate developer who was very blunt and had some fiery things to say about what he would do, which caught fire with some disaffected voters. But ultimately, he was in the middle of a lot of controversies, so it was pretty lopsided. The margin was lopsided in favor of Cuomo, but obviously a pretty big deal for him anyway. It's interesting because Cuomo outspent Palladino, who entered the race vowing to spend $10 million on his own campaign, but seemed like he was on track to come in at about $2 million below that. See, this is the other part of the equation, the money that was spent for some people. It didn't work for three women. It didn't work for Meg Whitman, who was the woman behind eBay, and she wanted to be the governor of California. It didn't work for Carly Fiorina, who wanted the Senate seat in California, and it didn't work for Linda McMahon, who wanted the Senate seat in Connecticut. There were three failed races, all of them businesswomen who had serious, serious big bucks, but it didn't matter. It was enough to make it competitive and pretty close in some cases, but not enough to push them over the edge where they actually won the vote. And McMahon at one point looked like she was pretty close to Blumenthal. You heard me talk about him. He pulled away and ended up getting a lot of even the independent vote. And with Boxer at the 11th hour, she came through and was able to knock off Fiorina, who has spent a couple of days hospitalized. I don't think that had anything to do with it, though. So it's interesting. There's some trends and patterns I think we'll be able to analyze over the next week or so and see where we're headed. What were we going to see out of John Boehner in the House, and ultimately what's going to happen? Obama's already placed a phone call to him, had a conversation about working together. Do you think they'll work together, and do you think anything gets done in Washington? That's the question. We're kicking the can down the road.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendovite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendovite.
Extendovite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendovite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendovite. To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Still worrying? From GMO to organic food in jeopardy, divided by economic turmoil, there is still an answer. With just a little knowledge easily acquired, you will literally see food everywhere. Author Linda Runyon has these skills from having lived this way of life and created the tools so you could too. Wild food is economical, nutritious, freely available, abundant, and free for the taking. It is a skill that takes little time to learn, but stays with you for life. And now, for a limited time, it's all on sale. It's called the Bye Bye Old Website Sale. Can you guess what's coming? Absolutely everything's on sale across the board, including our already discounted packages. And you know, the holidays are coming up fast. We don't know if we're going to have another sale this year. This was the only one in 2010 so far. We've been lucky to keep our prices the same since 2008, but who knows what the future will bring. So go to ofthefield.com now, or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE, and cross food off your to-do list.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. Day complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today. The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Probably feeling after a long, long battle, because some people have been campaigning for over a year, really, and at least 6 months, and some a little bit less than that, but usually it's at least 6 months in, and depending on the primaries and where they stood at that point and whatnot. Here's how everything stands before we get into odds and ends, because we don't want to neglect some of the other things that happened. Believe it or not, it's not just about the election. Although a big chunk of it is about the election. And as I said, you got to tell me what it was like. Was it mostly gray voting in your area? What happened to the younger demographic? All the excitement, their balloon or their bubble was popped, I guess. 18 to 29 would be the younger demographic. Where were they? Missing in action for the most part, I guess, during the day. Can't wait to see all the demographics coming out once everything's wrapped up. But right now it's too early to tell whether we hit that 45% of people voting in the U.S. or not, or was it just kind of the traditional 40%. I mentioned that where I was, and I checked in some other places throughout the country, there were big crowds, but I was checking at times when people would be trying to go and vote and then get to work or come back from work or whatever it might be. So 800-259-5791, if you have a story to tell, please tell it, share it with us. the House, the seats that were needed for Republican control, 5, the seats won, 34. For Senate, the seats needed for Republican control were 6, the seats won, 4. So pretty much this is playing out the way many would have predicted it, although some seats were lost that weren't predicted and vice versa. House goes to the Republicans, Senate stays with the Democrats. Nancy Pelosi would be out as House Speaker. Is John Boehner going to be in? It's looking that way, although there's some rumors that that might not necessarily just be a shoe-in. So here's the deal, and I've mentioned some of the big ones already, the fact that in California it played out that Boxer, pretty much her win, dashed the Republican takeover hopes for the Senate. That was one of the key seats. And also the fact that now this is on the governor's side, but Jerry Brown gets to do it again, and the Democrats keep that Senate majority. They keep the Senate majority while they lose it in the House. Now, there were other measures also on the ballot, too, and we'll get to those. Don't worry. We'll cover a whole bunch of this. I'm just going to hit a few highlights for you. I said that Russ Feingold of Wisconsin was out. The veteran Democratic senator, he wasn't the only one that might have been a surprise to some on the Democratic side. Blanche Lincoln, Arkansas, lost her reelection bid as well. Joe Manchin, this was big for the Democrats. The West Virginia governor was able to hold off the millionaire Republican challenger, so that kept a Democrat in the seat that was held for half a century by, of course, the late Robert Byrd. And there were some other things that happened, too, along the way in both chambers worth mentioning. In Delaware, there was so much talk about Christine O'Donnell, and she didn't come close. It went to Chris Coons, the Democrat. Rand Paul of Kentucky, it looked like he might have had a little bit of a challenge from Jack Conway, but Rand Paul takes that easily in Kentucky. Marco Rubio, who I already mentioned from Florida, they both win, and they really rock, actually, the Republican establishment because they routed favorites in party primaries. They weren't the choice of the Republican Party in their neck of the woods, but they won. And they would be Tea Party champs because the Tea Party backed both Rubio heavily and Rand Paul as well. And this would also shout out, I think, some libertarian-leaning Republicans, because that's what I would certainly call Rand Paul, and I would probably say the same of Rubio as well. And we know what that means. That means pressing for the lower taxes, the less spending, and, of course, my favorite, which is what I say, too, less government, smaller government. And that would be what they would push for, absolutely. In Utah, the Tea Party-backed Mike Lee won easily after grabbing the Republican nomination from Bob Bennett. That was the big surprise back in March. So some of the I'll call them the upstarts, the surprise candidates, have now come full circle, full circle. Indiana voters sent Republican Dan Coats back to the chamber after 12 years because he was gone for 12 years. He spent a decade in the Senate before he stepped down in 98. He defeated the Democrat Brad Ellsworth, and of course that seat is another one that's was left open by the Democrat Evan Boswell. All right, let's jump to a couple of other things before we get too far off the track. As much as there are election results and whatnot still coming in, we're going to jump back to that too, but I don't want to ignore some of the other things that have happened on the day, like I said, in your backyard and across the world, certainly. And besides, it's hard to get away from it, isn't it? Besides counting the vote, boy, that could just be all about We Can Count, right? We could just focus on that for the entire We Can Count. Here's something that came out that actually I think was awful news about Baghdad and some bombs. I gave you the headline, but they're saying at least 76 people dead after these bombs went off across Baghdad. And, I mean, here's the thing. To me, you think of the time invested in Iraq, how many of our troops, you know, gallantly served in what turned out to be a horrific situation for many because of the IEDs and everything they had to deal with, the not knowing when they approached kids what was going to happen there. I mean, I don't have to paint the picture for you. We've done it a million times. So it pains me when there's violence in Iraq, especially on a bigger scale. And this is why, because what happened is they went off across the capital in a lot of different places. So the idea was to kill as many people as possible, restaurants, coffee shops, and whatnot. So right now we're almost at 78 for the death toll, and this is just the first few hours after the blast went off, and that number could still keep rising because they're combing through the debris right now. And how this was done, tricky, 10 cars exploded with the bombs inside them. There was 4 roadside bombs, 2 sticky bombs, and it happened in 10 different neighborhoods. So besides the people who were flat out killed, about 300 people were hurt as well. And all the attacks, and see, this was the other thing, when we so-called started pull out of Iraq, what was going to happen with the Sunnis and the Shiites and the Kurds? Well, all the attacks were in Shiite neighborhoods, it sounds like, from the initial reports anyway. So now the question becomes, okay, so what is this violence? Is this sectarian violence? Is this flat out just trying to create confusion? I mean, what's the buzz on the street? And the buzz is that it's calling into question whether or not the Iraqi security forces can protect the capital. Because this is just 2 days after you had a guy in Baghdad who held a Christian congregation hostage in a siege that basically ended with 58 people killed. And I'll say it again, we invested not just our blood, our human capital, the money, whatever, but also remember some of the best and the brightest when it came to security and whatnot spent many, many years training the forces in Iraq. So now you've got this Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, who's ordering the detention of the police commander because they're wondering what happened there. Was there something else going on here? Because what you had was the people who were these assailants that planted the bombs, they were disguised as guards working for a private security firm, and they carried some fake IDs. So how did they manage to get as far into, like the night before, get into the church as far as they did on the Christian thing, and then also being able to plant the bombs in the cars? And just a sad situation, I think, in that country. And because we invested, like I said, so much capital into it, we should be concerned as to what's going on now, because ultimately we still have a foothold there. We still have dividends, I guess, if you will, to be paid off. That sounds a little weird, but we do. And nobody wants to see that, I believe. Not really, right? What happens on election day when it comes to the rest of the, world? So besides talking about elections here, what else is going on? Well, of course, business as usual. What happened on the stock market? A bounce in the stock market. The Dow was up 64 points, the NASDAQ 28, and the S&P almost 10 points. So is it because there was some kind of something that was announced? Was it the happiness of Election Day, and how will the election affect the stock market? Well, what really happened and the reason it rose is because investors moved into what they call riskier assets following a drop in the dollar. So then that would jack up the Dow to nearly its highest point in the year, and then it sort of came back a little bit. Coming up on the flip side, we can count.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Time for another edition of We Can Counts. Well, it is election day, and of course it's all about the numbers, so we will jump to some election numbers in just a minute. But before we do that, let's give you one other one that I thought was actually pretty interesting, and it has to do with this ship that got under a bridge by just a foot. I'm fascinated by bridges. I love bridges. And maybe it's because I kind of grew up in an area where there were a lot of bridges. Even if you know, if you ever go to New York, remember there are five bridges, five spans that you'll see, like the Verrazano, the George Washington Bridge. And if you come from another area, it is pretty cool to go over some of those spans, right? And I'm also fascinated by, like when you're in Florida, like Tampa, the Sky Bridge is just, it's amazing. It's, to me, it's just absolutely stunning. It's absolutely beautiful. Well, let's stick with Florida for a second. A pretty tight squeeze for a cruise ship sailing from Europe to the home port in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I happen to see a picture of this. The Royal Caribbean's Allure of the Seas passing under the Denmark Storebelt Bridge with about a foot to spare. The people all got up on the deck. I don't know if I would have been on the deck. And they were applauding. And the captain called it the best day of excitement that he's ever seen in a very long time. I'm like, what? Did he know he was going to clear it or not? What if they had slapped right into it? So check this out. The normal height of the ship from the water level to the top is about 73 meters or 240 feet. But they couldn't be higher than 65 meters, 213, in order to safely go under the bridge. So to make that happen, the crew had to lower the ship's retractable twin smokestacks and adjust the ballast so the ship wouldn't be too light and sit too high in the water, and then they have to boost their speed to be able to get through it. And they made it. I mean, they made it by the hair of their chinny chin chin. How crazy is that? It's a big deal when you name a ship and they have the official naming ceremony, they say, on November 28th. They should call it, like, Just By a Foot, something like that. There's got to be a good name in there somewhere. I don't think they'll go in that direction. But you know what I'm saying. I'm thinking that's what they want to do. All right, we got to jump to the elections here for a second, and this is numbers. We know this. I've already mentioned this, that the Republicans have now officially 230 seats in the House. They need just 218 for the majority. The Democrats, 178. For the Senate, the Democrats needed 51. They got it, so they got 51. The Republicans, 46. There's still some things to officially happen. This just happened moments ago. Senator Harry Reid retains his seat with 50% to Sharon Engel, who gave it a good ride on the Republican side of things, 45%. So that becomes official again. I'll call it official. The 28-year senator from Nevada narrowly hangs on to his position as the senator of Nevada. Let's go to Al listening to us in Canada. Hello, Al.
Hi, Kate. I'd like to congratulate all the Americans who voted Republican and prevented President Obama and the Democrats from turning America into Canada South. You know, okay, I'll give you an example of what would happen if Canada, if the USA became like Canada. You would have 1,300 senators in your Senate. If you, this is how overgoverned we are. Obama seems to respect Canada, doesn't he?
Yes.
He's a fan of Canada. If you guys adopted our left-wing style of government that we're trying to change up here, you would have almost. You would have over 1,200 senators. We've got 124 senators, and we have one-tenth of the population. The population of America is around 305 million, right?
Yes.
And the population of Canada is 33 million. So almost 10 times as many people. So you would have over 1,200 senators, and you would have almost 3,500 congressmen in the House of Representatives, because we have 320 in our lower house. We have 320, so 10 times 320, you would have 3,200, 3,300, and that is way too much government, isn't it?
I mean, of course.
We have way too much government up here. And also, did Christine O'Donnell get beat by a man?
Yes, Chris Coons. Yeah,
and Christine Angle got beat by a man. I thought the Democrats were wanted more women in government. You know, would you say the Democrats have a reputation of being more pro-woman than Republicans?
That's a tough question. No. I mean, maybe in the past I would say that, but I think the Republicans, and just like the Democrats, Al, are opportunists, and if the right woman comes along, they're gonna push for her to get elected. Yeah. That's what I think.
You know, it's really interesting. You know, in the past, I guess the Democrats were more pro-feminist,
Sure, I would say in the past, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And also, does that mean that, is there going to be a tightening up on immigration? Do you think the House can tighten up the immigration?
Remember, you got the Senate and the House that you have to deal with, and you've got a Democratic president. I think that's a hot potato that's going to be tossed around, and they're going to try to come up with something maybe eventually. But remember, what's lurking around the corner, 2012.
Yeah, and I guess John Stewart and Stephen Colbert are not as powerful as they thought they were. I think they thought that, you know, that big rally on Saturday to that rally to destroy Sean Hannity or whatever the hell it was called. Or the rally, I call it the
to
rally
restore to, sanity. Yes.
I thought it was the rally to destroy Sean Hannity and other evil right wingers. You know, all of us evil right wingers. But you know, and also, Kate, I saw a huge Baptist church get blown to smithereens in Dallas. Did you see that?
Oh yeah, it was four different places that went up, but it was part of that Baptist church. Yeah, it imploded.
That wasn't
they imploded
a terrorist attack. That wasn't the Muslims.
Oh no, that was intentional. The rebuilding.
Oh, I see. Well, and what are they going to put on the vacant lot? A mosque?
No, they're putting the Baptist church. Silly.
Yeah. No, I just wanted. All I saw was this huge. They said a huge Baptist church in Dallas was blown to smithereens. That's all I saw. Like I'm visually impaired, so I got to sit so damn close to the screen.
There wasn't a terrorist act. No.
And also one other stat. Did you hear that stat that the most popular name for newborn babies in Great Britain is Mohammed?
I did.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, this is going to sound politically incorrect, but I think we've got we have more to worry about than just Mexicans.
But I'm pumped. You are politically incorrect. Thanks,
hey,
Al. Yeah, they did say that Muhammad was a popular name. You know, there are a lot of Muslim people that live in England, so it wasn't such a shocker to me, I guess, when I heard that. And there wasn't much to that other than the fact that the people that were Muslim, which was what the study attributed to, they named their kids Muhammad, obviously. Let's go to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
How you doing?
How are you?
What do I always say?
Simply fantastic.
Yeah, no, simply fantastic, out of this world. And I was watching Returns on NBC, and Brian Williams was talking to the news anchor from Telemundo. And the news anchor from Telemundo was saying, if Harry Reid gets elected, he better learn how to say muchas gracias, because he thinks that, okay, this was earlier tonight, and you just told me that Harry Reid looks like he's going to be declared the winner, because of him, there was a big Hispanic vote came out to support him, or just in general that Hispanics all came out to vote. And I found that kind of ironic because, you know, talking about immigration and such, I thought maybe it'd be a lot of protest votes by Hispanics and other immigrants who would vote, you know, if they found that like a candidate was anti-immigration, they'd vote against him or her. So, you know,
Not Harry Reid, because remember, he's the Democrat, and maybe it's gotten shelved, but Sharon Engel was about booting immigrants out.
And she was, in a way, a bit anti-Canada, too.
Right, right. So that probably cost her. That's why I was saying muchas gracias, because of Harry Reid's policies versus her. Sam, I'm sorry we're up against it. Thanks for the call, buddy. It'll be interesting to see when the breakdown happens what the actual percentage of voters was, but we do know that there was a big jump in 65 and over, from 15% in 2008 to 25%, at least it shows by the exit polls this time around. Very interesting. Send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.